The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokats, and welcome. It is finally Friday, November 4th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here, and also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, the indefatigable and esoteric Cannabis Carrie.
I'm going to have to start getting a dictionary for these introductions, Russ.
I know. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I can't believe you said it's finally Friday. I can't believe that it's already Friday.
Yeah, I know. It's gone kind of quick. Maybe just because I'm starting to get a cold right as the weekend comes. So maybe that has something to do with it.
You know, I'm hearing that from a lot of people. It seems like a lot of people around me have been going through that, I don't know, that seasonal change thing. It always hits our communities a little more... more harder because we basically make out with each other all the time every time we're
passing
together.
Pipes all the time and joints. Yeah, that's the way it works out. But we'll get by as best we can. We've got all sorts of great stuff on the show today. Now, if you tuned in before we got started today, you may have noticed me playing some videos from Gwar, the slasher rock band with the outlandish costumes. And the reason being is the guitar player Corey Smoot, aka Flatus Maximus, was found dead on their tour bus this morning. And so rest in peace to Corey Smoot and all the fans of Gwar there who are mourning his passage. Today is Rockin' Friday, so we'll be getting to some rock later on today. And on Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher tonight, he's going to have a little bit of a tribute to Gwar as well, some more of those videos and songs. So check that out. But for today's Rockin' Friday, we've got a really special interview for you today. The band King, K-Y-N-G, is calling in at 20 after to talk about their new album, Trampled Sun, and their new video. That's just out, a great metal band out there that's risen through the grassroots. Also, Steve Bloom from Celeb Stoner is going to join us today to talk about the new Harold and Kumar 3D movie and other celebrity entertainment news. But before we get to that, we get the Hemp Headlines with Cannabis Carrie. What's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to talk about that reform conference that's going on down in Los Angeles. It still goes on tomorrow, so I'm encouraging people in the Los Angeles area to go and get themselves educated a little bit. Also, we're going to talk about San Jose. You know, we've been reporting on San Jose's and what they've been trying to do with the dispensaries for years now. I'm going to give you the latest on what the mayor's latest idea is to help pay for this new election. And also, Bonnie DeManis. Apparently she was a foe. Now she's a friend. We're going to talk about that as well.
Yeah.
And in Montana, I think we're going to go to Montana where we're finding, I don't know, we're going to see what happens in the next election, but people think it might be a tough climb.
Yeah, all sorts of interesting news. We'll also, we have some video on that Bonnie DeManis thing too, so we'll play that for you. And then at the end of the show, guess what tomorrow is, Carrie?
What? Saturday?
In addition to Saturday, it's the 15th anniversary of the passage of Prop 215 in California, legalizing the medical use of cannabis.
Wow,
that's
I love that.
Yeah, so we've got a radical rant
Normal Show Live
on that coming up.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to The Normal Network.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The district attorney in Southern California, who has been an opponent to medical marijuana advocates for years, is now running for the mayor of San Diego. But it seems that she may be evolving her position on medical marijuana, and she felt the need to release a statement this week to clarify her position on medical marijuana. In her statement to the voters, she tells them that people are often surprised when she tells them that, quote, I absolutely support the legitimate legal use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. She says that despite her record of support for many years, people have been falsely led to believe that she is a medical marijuana opponent. She wants you to know that she is not what news stories have labeled her as, an opponent. She also claims that under her direction as the district attorney, she never prosecuted a legitimate patient for simply possessing marijuana. It's all in the details. She also said that her specific role as the DA was to enforce the law, that she never went out and made arrests or targeted specific dispensaries to shut down. She said that she is only after, quote, drug dealers hiding behind Proposition 215 to sell marijuana for profit to people who don't need it for medical reasons, selling to our children, and even selling to people who have prescriptions in the names of their pets, unquote. Well, I guess she labeled Donna Lambert, a medical marijuana activist in our community that suffers from hep C and cirrhosis, as a criminal drug dealer hiding behind 215 to make some money. Lambert provided marijuana to an undercover officer who had a doctor's recommendation to have the medical marijuana. She was prosecuted by Bonnie DeManis. The 48-year-old woman, along with the illegal drug sales charge, was also charged with possessing a firearm during the commission of a felony, since the undercover police detective buying that small amount of marijuana from her in her living room later found two guns in her home that were registered and legal. DeManis promises as mayor that she will bring together all levels of government to make sure that Prop 215 is protected so it can offer compassion to those that need it. Well, it may be a hard sell to those legitimate patients and businessmen that have been being dragged through the courts on her watch. So, Russ, what do you have to say about this turnaround? Have we wrongly labeled San Diego's district attorney as a medical marijuana opponent?
La, 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 la. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just singing some Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah, let's see. Bonnie DeManis. Well, let's go to the videotape here. We've got some from her on KUSI News here. Video on her understanding of marijuana. Let me play a little bit of this for you. Make sure that the sound is up on that so you can hear it okay. Here we go.
Her in some big legal trouble. That's an inside look at what happened to Lambert, but there are always two sides to the story, the issue anyway. And this morning, District Attorney Bonnie DeManis joins us to talk about this. You're saying it's a zoning issue, really, is what you're talking
about.
Well,
what the city council, I watched it last night on TV, what they were looking at was forming a task force to look at the issues around medical marijuana, and also whether or not to have a moratorium or restriction, zoning or permit restrictions on dispensaries or those places that have the medical marijuana allegedly there.
They have been popping
allegedly.
Back up.
Yeah. What impact has that had? I mean, these dispensaries that are going on. Have you noticed a big impact within our city?
Well, interestingly enough, those testifying yesterday at the city council meeting were business owners that said they were cropping up near them. It was having an impact, a negative impact on their business, as well as there was a 17-year-old kid in a youth leadership group and a 14-year-old in a youth leadership group that was saying, please, don't let these into our neighborhoods because we're fighting hard to keep kids from using marijuana, and if you let them in, it's going to be a difficult sell. So, you know, I think there's a lot of confusion around about the laws that now exist. We follow the law. We don't go after people that are using medical marijuana or marijuana that's intended to help them with cancer, HIV, glaucoma, you know, the serious illnesses that were intended. What we go after are those that are selling, that are profiting from the very people this was designed to help.
Yeah. So are you saying in the case of Ms. Lambert here, are you saying that she was selling this for profit and that's the issue?
I'm because not saying anything
you're
about
not
Ms. Lambert because
we
that's
thought a, you were going to talk about
because,
it. Because it's a pending
case. It's a pending case. I
right.
can
yeah.
only talk
And
to
so you. I actually know Donna Lambert personally, and this was nothing but a witch hunt on the behalf of Bonnie DeManis going after her for her legitimate use of medical marijuana. And that's not the only case where Bonnie DeManis has not been a friend to the medical marijuana community. I got to give thanks to the blog Two Cathedrals and the writer here, Alex Kreit, who points out a lot of stuff. In her words, she says, quote, as mayor, I will bring all levels of government together, trying to coordinate a lasting legal solution on medical marijuana. I will leverage my long-standing relationships with law enforcement, business leaders, and community activists to bring differing ideas and viewpoints to the table, end quote. Well, here's the truth. The city has already been engaged in a 2-year-long effort to coordinate a lasting legal solution to the issue. DeManis has not just been absent from the effort, she has refused invitations to become involved. Another one of her words in her statement, DeManis says that she believes, quote, it's important that medical marijuana patients are provided with legitimate access to medical marijuana, end quote. Well, in her actions as district attorney, Bonnie DeManis' office has refused to issue badly needed prosecutorial guidelines to enable medical marijuana cooperatives to comply with the law and to provide that legitimate access. And in her statement, Bonnie DeManis implies that her office has only prosecuted bad actors who are using state medical marijuana laws to shield unlawful activity. Quote, what I do not support is drug dealers hiding behind Proposition 215 to sell marijuana for profit to people who don't need it for medical reasons, selling to our children, and even selling to people who have prescriptions in the names of their pets, end quote, DeManis says. Well, her actions as district attorney, Bonnie DeManis has made all medical marijuana cooperatives in the city potential targets for prosecution, not just those that are selling to people who do not have valid recommendations. On September 10th, 2009, for example, DeManis said, quote, there is no such thing right now as a legitimate medical marijuana dispensary, end quote, in San Diego. So DeManis has gone against this numerous times, and incredibly here, in the case that she talks about prosecuting people that were trying to sell medical marijuana for profit, she went after Jovan Jackson by getting a cop to go to a doctor with a fake ID, lie to that doctor about a medical condition, get a legitimate medical recommendation from the doctor, go to Jovan Jackson's dispensary and have medicine given to him after Jackson verifies the legal ID and verifies the legal recommendation, even though they are fraudulently obtained by the cop. And then she prosecutes him. And when she takes Jackson to court and a jury refuses to convict him because they believe that she was interpreting the Compassionate Use Act and SB 420 far too restrictively, she went out and got another cop with another recommendation, with another fake ID to go to Jackson's dispensary in the hopes that this time when she busts him, she would get a different judge. And she did. She managed to get a different judge who refused to allow Jovan Jackson to testify that his use of marijuana was medical. So you cannot convince me that Bonnie DeManis is anything but trying to win votes in her mayoral election in San Diego. She is not a friend to medical marijuana.
Okay, I'm glad we got that all cleared up. Well, yesterday, Republican presidential hopeful Gary Johnson made a political stop at the International Drug Policy Reform Conference that is being held in downtown Los Angeles this week. Now, that isn't a typical speaking and engagement for politicians, but Johnson has been supportive of the cannabis community for years. Before he had even announced his intention to seek the highest office in the land, he was the keynote speaker at the 2010 National Normal Conference in Portland. But in California, marijuana law reform is politics. So he spoke as well as California Lieutenant Governor and former San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom. In his speech, he made the bold statement that if he won the Republican nomination and was elected president, he was prepared to issue a full pardon for anyone serving prison time for a nonviolent marijuana crime. As you can imagine, the crowd was pretty pleased with that statement. Of course, this isn't surprising news considering that the one-time New Mexico governor has been calling for the legalization of marijuana since 1999 when he was serving his second term. But it does make him stand out in the crowded Republican field of hopefuls, where on the other side, we have Newt Gingrich, who advocated for a dealer death importer bill that would have included any illicit drug substance quantity over 2 ounces. The drug conference is being attended by a record number of people this year. It's going to continue through tomorrow at the Westin Bonaventure in downtown LA. They are also holding an End the Drug War rally at MacArthur Park tonight. And if you want to check out the schedule for tomorrow, I encourage anybody in the area to go check it out. Definitely go to the rally tonight. You can check it out at reformconference.org for more details.
Hey, Carrie.
Yeah.
Guess who's not speaking at the drug reform conference this time? Ron Paul?
Ooh. Yeah, there you go. Okay, and also, the mayor of San Jose called this week for the city council to raise the tax on medical marijuana collectives from their current 7% to the maximum allowed by law, 10%, to help pay for a citywide vote on whether to repeal newly enacted medical marijuana regulations. Reed wants the voters to decide the fate of regulations that city officials spent 2 years developing. Reed supported the rules that were eventually passed, but medical marijuana businesses have said that they are completely unworkable. So now they're trying to find out that to change the rules, the mayor wants the collectives themselves to pay for a new election. He said if the voters want an election on the matter, it could cost the cash-strapped city more than $1 million. So he proposed at a city council meeting this week that the cost of an election on the medical marijuana for the new rules that are already in place should be paid for that community itself. Reed wants a tax increase by January and believe it should be temporary, noting that a year-long increase would just about cover that election's $1 million. Leaders who are working on the referendum to repeal the new regulations says the mayor's tax hike plan would burden patients who use marijuana to ease the symptoms of cancer and other illnesses. James Anthony, the chairman of the Citizens Coalition for Patient Care, which raised over $200,000 in 1 month for the referendum drive, says that the taxes are already very, very high compared to other local business taxes. The city council approved medical marijuana regulations in September, and they were scheduled to go into effect last week. Those rules would reduce the more than 100 pot collectives in San Jose to just 10 and require them to grow the drug on site, something that the clubs are saying would invite federal drug raids and force them to close. Last Friday, the club submitted almost 49,000 signatures from city voters for that referendum to repeal the city regulations, and that was substantially more than the 30,000 that they needed. And it is enough to at least suspend the rules pending a formal tally and verification by the county registers of voters. Now, once the referendum petitions are certified, the council at its next regular meeting has to either repeal the regulations altogether or submit the referendum to voters for their next regularly scheduled election. Now, the clubs had hoped that the petitions would prompt the council just to repeal the ordinance and work with them on rules more to their liking, rather than subject the city to additional costs as it copes with its 11th straight year of operating in a deficit. The Citizens Coalition says they don't want to cost the city any more money, and they just want to sit down with the mayor and talk it out.
It's such a weird thing when people are profiting from medical marijuana in Southern California. It's a crime and it's a terrible thing. We got to prosecute. But when governments are profiting from medical marijuana in the Bay Area, we have referendums on it. It's such a messed up situation. Let's just legalize it for everyone. All right, one final note here from news in Montana. Remember, Montana passed medical marijuana back in 2004 by 62%. Well, the Montana State University Billings poll just found that 62% of respondents favored the new overhaul of the pot law adopted by the legislature earlier this year. It replaced with a much tougher law that makes it more difficult to get a medical marijuana card and severely limits the supply of the drug. The poll also found 55% believe medical marijuana users should not be allowed to buy guns and ammunition. Recently, the federal government warned gun dealers not to sell to people holding medical marijuana cards. This is terrible news for the people trying the referendum on that SB 423 repeal light, with only 28% of the people in the survey opposing that new repeal light measure. It's going to be very difficult to get a majority to support repealing it. All right, folks, we'll talk more about medical marijuana and the Radical Rant today at the end. Prop 215 is 15 years old as of tomorrow, and I got a few things to say about it. We're back with King after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
You're listening to our Daily Toker Tunes on Normal Show Live. Did somebody say science?
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Joined also by Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, I should say, retired general, military analyst at NBC, and most importantly for this conversation, former National Drug Policy Director, very familiar with this conversation.
Normal Show Live, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
General, I'm going to begin with you.
Everybody's got a habit, some good, some bad, to reach the comfort zone. Some of the people have all kinds of people around, some people can't hang alone. Whatever it is, whatever you like, you're gonna make it through your afternoon.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Rockin' Friday here, and we're waiting for a call from Tony Castaneda from the band King. You can find them on kingband.com. That's K-Y-N-G-band.com. A three-piece band featuring Eddie Velez on guitars and vocals, Tony Castaneda on bass and vocals, and Pepe Clark on drums and percussion. They're part of the Metal Blade Records family that has been so gracious to us here at Normal Rocks and at Normal Show Live in giving us full reign to play anything off of the Metal Blades catalog. We're very, very excited about that. Their new album, Trampled Sun, is out right now. It came out on September 27th, 2011, featuring the song that we're going to play here, as well as another song, Trails in Veins. We encourage everyone to check it out at kingband.com. You can also find them at King Rocks out there on Facebook. Again, it's K-Y-N-G. We're just going to go into the video for you. This is King with their new video, Falling Down, exclusively here on your Rockin' Friday. Check out more King tonight on Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. check them out on kingband.com and more. Coming up on Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. When we come back, we got Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com giving us the latest on the new Harold and Kumar 3D movie and more news from celebrities and marijuana. Stick around. This is Normal Show Live.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Anybody like to smoke some pot?
Yeah.
You ever smoked before?
Sure.
When did you ever smoke pot?
I've done a lot of things you don't know about.
Yeah?
I won't go schizo, will I?
It's a distinct possibility.
Is this right?
Try not to drool quite so much on the end of it.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America. And it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normalnorml.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Russ, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Weather's getting kind of snowy out there. Are you buried?
Oh, it's not snowing now. It's beautiful, actually. And actually, it's warming up over the next few days. But we did have a little freak storm last Friday and Saturday, you know, with, you know, it's very wet snow. So it kind of like weighed down some trees and knocked down some branches and closed the park for a little while. The park's for a little while, but it, you know, it's back to sort of in the 50s. It's nice.
All right. Well, getting this entertainment report underway, of course, the big story coming up for the weekend entertainment-wise would be the new Harold and Kumar movie in 3D.
Yeah, well, that's a big deal. You, when you think about it, in the world of stoner movies, there's not that many movies that have sequels. You know,
right.
There's Cheech and Chong, there's multiple Cheech and Chong movies, and there's the Three Friday movies, and, you know, now there's the third, you know, Harold and Kumar movie. So it sort of has a great significance in that it's sort of carried on. This movie is called A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas, and much like Friday After Next, the third Friday movie, it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
So there's something going on there where I guess when you sort of exhaust a bunch of your ideas, let's do a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
So it's a very 3D, stony
no less.
It's a very stony Christmas movie. The 3D is great. Honestly, I haven't been to that many 3D movies, but I have not seen the effects in a movie yet like this, where everything's really coming at you. So they kind of, just for fun, you know, they break a lot of shit so that they can have things breaking up and flying at you. And there's a scene, which is just a ridiculous scene. There's actually a little bit more cocaine in this movie than there has been in the past, and even maybe more than more weed. They couldn't help it. White Christmas, the snow idea. There's a scene where it's at a party, and it's a big bag of coke, and it gets thrown in the air for some reason, and these mobsters who are in the party shoot at it, and it explodes, and it just flies all over the place, you know, like a snowy, you know, shower of coke. And so it lands on everybody. It's powder everywhere, and there's a little baby in the movie, baby Ava, who's the daughter of Tom Lennon's character, who's kind of like this nerdy friend of Harold, who gets coke all over, and she just starts, you know, going crazy on coke. It's the stoniest little kid you'll ever see in a movie, to the point where, you know, maybe some parents groups might be a little upset, but, you know, it's played for jokes. So basically,
yeah.
Harold and Kumar are estranged. They, after this last movie, Escape from Guantanamo Bay, you know, Harold, you know, went back to his, you know, made it with his girlfriend, married Maria, moved to the suburbs, and, you know, it's just, you know, the straight life, and gave up weed. And the exact opposite for Kumar. Kumar is living like a complete stoner slacker with like a complete wreck of an apartment. You know, the absolute stereotype of how a stoner can kind of trash out a place. Smoking like crazy, just smoking. First scene in the movie, he goes and buys some weed from Patton Oswalt in a garage, parking lot. Pretty funny. So the movie starts great. I mean, hot right from the start. And then, you know, there's, you know, what's going to bring them back together? Well, it turns out Kumar gets a package, and it's addressed to Harold. So he decides to drive out there with his friend Adrian, who's played by Amir Blumenfeld, who's the guy from one of these guys from College Humor, who's very good in the movie. And so they get to Harold's place and open up this box. Inside the box is a huge joint, Cheech and Chong size joint. And so, I mean, immediately Kumar, light it up, you know. And Harold, typically stuffy, you know, Harold. But straighter now because he doesn't smoke. Anyway, he lights it up, and Harold takes it, throws it out the window, and it causes a fire, and it burns up this Christmas tree that was given to him, a special tree from his Mexican father-in-law, who's played by Danny Trejo. It's very funny. And
yeah, for people who don't know, Danny Trejo is that big Indian-Mexican guy who's the badass with the big chest tattoo, right?
Right, and he's also in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And so it's very important spiritual tree, you know, and so all of a sudden it's on fire. Now sets off this whole, adventure to find another tree. It's almost like going to White Castle. You have to get there to, there's a goal. And it's, you know, kind of silly, but it takes them on this little adventure, and that's kind of what Harold and Kumar do until, you know, things kind of get resolved and they become friends again. You would suppose.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it all away.
Well,
but so that's kind of their sort of bromance, brotherly adventure that, you know, they go on in this movie.
Yeah.
It's fun. With the 3D stuff, it's really fun. It's a little bit of a thin storyline, but you don't really expect too much. I mean, the first movie was about eating burgers. This movie is about, you know, kind of finding a tree.
Right.
The second movie was a little bit all over the place, honestly, the Escape from Guantanamo Bay, but kind of had, like, redeemed by, you know, the Western White House scene where they dropped in on Bush, and I thought that really kind of saved that movie. This movie, it's a little bit sort of across the board, just kind of, you know, good from beginning to end, whereas the last movie I thought had a really good last third that kind of saved the movie. And so, you know, and with the 3D stuff, you know, I think Stoner's going to have a lot of fun. So, you know, hit a few balls and you go in there and watch this movie because you're not going to get the 3D effects at home.
Right on. That's awesome.
Gentlemen, start your engines. It's going to be a bumpy fucking ride.
And of course, Neil Patrick Harris in the movie too, right?
Yes, he is. And he's on crack. So and he's into women. So, you know, he's on crack and into women. So he's playing against type, I think.
Yeah.
And he does a great song and dance because, you know, now he's, you know, this Broadway song and dance guy.
Sure.
In the last few years, you know, suddenly, you know, that's a part of his personality that's come out. So, you know, they have him doing like a whole, you know, Christmas medley with Harold and Kumar as like in the March of the Wooden Soldiers sort of characters, which you might have seen some of the photos where they kind of get drawn in, like, it's just a little silly. They just kind of get, oh, we need you guys, boom, they grab them. Next thing you know, they're dressed up as wooden soldiers. And then they run into him again, Neil Patrick Harris, who supposedly died at the end of the second movie. You know, it's like, what are you doing here? So there's some kind of convenient answer as to how he survived. And he's really not in the movie very long. And then he has a little, like, I'll see you in the fourth. You know, like, as if there will be one.
Right on. And you have another story up there, too, about the actor Cal Penn loves playing Stoney Kumar. What did Penn say about the role?
Well, you know, he likes to basically be coy and say, you know, he's, you know, Kumar's a lot cooler than he is. I'm not like Kumar. And, you know, I've had this sort of like, sort of issue with Cal Penn over that because, you know, Cal, you know, has worked for the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's sort of gone another direction and then comes back to do a stoner movie, kind of stoner movie, White House stoner movie.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, in his, you know, track record right now. And so, but he's, you know, he's very coy about his use. So, you know, when I first met him, when I was working at High Times and the first movie came out, he came up to the office and we did a great photo shoot with lots of weed, but he wouldn't smoke. And he wouldn't eat, and he said he didn't even eat burgers. He was vegetarian. It was kind of funny, you know. Okay, here's a guy who is like in the burger weed movie and doesn't do either.
Yeah.
So, and we really went out of our way. We styled out. I don't know if you ever seen the photo of Cal holding the tray, the White
yeah.
Castle tray. Everything was doctored up to look like all weed stuff and with buds coming out of everywhere. And he was really gung-ho. And then he comes to the Stony Awards the next year that I was running in New York, and him and his director, and Cal comes up and he says, you remember I told you, you know, I didn't smoke pot? Well, I am now. And it's like, okay, here's some joints. So it's like Cal was cool then, but then he kind of pulled back again. He even got mad at me for putting him in my pot culture book. Because he was sort of pushing Obama and he felt like that was going to harm him somehow or other. And so he's always dodging around. You never know like where he stands, but he's such a great stoner character.
Right.
And
yeah.
that was what we wrote in the pot culture. The interview was playing a stoner.
Yeah.
He's a great, whether he's a stoner or not.
He's a great actor.
A great stoner. He's just one of the great stoners of all time. He's so much fun in the movie. He's, again, kind of like Tommy Chong's character in Cheech and Chong, where he's so always pushing the limit and getting, you know, getting into trouble. You know, the whole fun dynamic of him and Kumar is just, he's always getting Kumar into trouble. He's
yeah.
always getting Harold into trouble, you know. The well, stoner, you know, instigator.
Yeah. Well, looking out on the celebstoner.com website, of course, one of the things everyone looks forward to is the top celeb stoners that your readers vote for, and we're usually talking about musicians or actors or something, but this time we've got Representative Barney Frank from Massachusetts.
Well, remember, you know, this is a vote. You know, I only put up the six names. You know, so there's six names every month or two, however long it takes to, you know, determine, you know, just however many votes we want to let it go. This one I let the vote go for a while because I was curious because he beat Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
You know, it's like, okay, well, Justin Timberlake is not the number one stoner out there, but he has been saying some things in support, and I think people are recognizing that. But, you know, I was a little surprised, but that's kind of a good sign that the readership of the site is very political. And we're in a very political time, as you know, with all the occupation stuff going on and all of the stuff that's going on in our movement, you know, as far as us, you know, working so hard to try and change the laws and trying to take advantage of every opportunity or try to, you know, go up against, you know, the negative stuff that's been happening in California and coming out of the White House, you know, so just sort of moving in that direction.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And, you know, we also cover the worlds of music and sports. Of course, the World Series just wrapped up, and wondering if we've got any new bus or marijuana information in either of those arenas.
Well, you know, you as a college football fan, I think you'd probably be looking at the LSU-Alabama
yeah.
game tomorrow and
absolutely.
The significance with the LSU guys, the three players in LSU who got busted on the spice charge.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they were suspended for one game, and that was 2 weeks ago, two Saturdays ago, a game that LSU won. pond, and now they're conveniently coming back to the Alabama game.
Yeah.
So it's okay. You can do your spices, you get knocked out for one game.
Yeah.
But you can come back and play the big game against Alabama. I think it was like an Auburn game that they didn't play. I believe they're back because I think it was a one-game suspension. I'm not as big a college football fan as you are, but to me it kind of adds a little I'll look at those guys a little bit more, the three players. One's a running back, one's a Heisman candidate, cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you follow. Do you follow LSU?
Oh, yeah. This just means we can draft them when they get to the NFL. They can be on the Pigskin Potheads.
That's right. We need a few more. How's that been going, by the way? Because I haven't been keeping up with it. It was a little tough, right?
Yeah, not a great record because we're playing against teams that are completely stocked by the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But they've been in the 60 to 80 points a game range. So not bad in most fantasy leagues, but certainly not a superstar team. A lot of that is Michael Vick's fault, I got to say.
Yeah,
but we got no running backs whatsoever. We got it.
And also, like Santonio Holmes is having a little bit of a down season for the Jets, and even there's been a little complaints in New York that he's like they're not throwing me the ball enough, and mm-hmm. And I think the Jets will start breaking him out a little bit more. I think they're trying to throw the ball a little bit more to Plaxico to make him happy. They got Plaxico. Plaxico probably belongs on the team just in general,
Yeah, I know. I kept scouring through the Celeb Stoner archives. Didn't Plaxico get busted?
Well, I didn't include Plaxico because it wasn't a drug bust. It was a gun bust. I don't usually cover gun busts so much.
Yeah.
And there was in the sports, there was Jeremy Mayfield, the former NASCAR driver who got busted a couple of days ago for meth. And he sort of was suspended a couple of years ago, and he claimed, and it was a false positive for Claritin and Adderall, but they said it was for meth, and now they found them, but they only found like 1.5 grams. I can't believe the small amounts. How do they find this stuff?
Yeah.
But really what they found in his house was all kinds of stolen goods, and they found a lot of weapons they didn't charge him for. So that's kind of in the NASCAR world, that's kind of like been an issue for a while with this guy. So he got busted. And also we had a baseball player, got busted for pot down in recently down in Florida, Schaefer, the guy from
Stony Schaefer.
Yeah. Stony Schaefer. So there's actually up to 59 celebrity busts this year now. It's like maybe I wasn't as, painstaking in the past to make sure I covered everyone. Maybe I've missed a few, but in the last few years we never had that many at this point. So I'm kind of guessing there's an average of 6 a month now. So I'm guessing there'll be over 70. Last year I only clocked in around 40.
Yeah.
So it's a big jump.
Yeah, it is. Well, we got to wrap things up here. So before we go, are you headed out to any events that we need to know about, or any new promotions we should tell people?
You make me feel bad when I don't have anything that I'm doing, but it's sort of like it's sort of wintertime. Hey, how come you're not down in L.A. for the BPA conference?
No money, man. I'm off to Atlanta next weekend though for the cannabis jam down there in Georgia.
Oh yeah, I haven't heard about that. What's that?
Yeah, it's I think it's a new event. It's noon to 10 Saturday the 12th.
Uh-huh. And what, a bunch of bands and stuff?
Yeah, they got a bunch of bands lined up, a bunch of speakers, myself included. There was a website for it, but it escapes me right off the top of my head.
But if I look up Cannabis Jam, I'll find it?
Yeah, Cannabis Jam, Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, you should find it.
All right. It's nothing to do with Paul Cornwell and the groups down there that's been doing stuff over the years?
I don't know. I was this was brought up to me by the folks out at Georgia Normal, just wanted to get me out there, and so they're in charge of running it all. I don't really know what's all going on yet.
How's Occupy Portland going?
The occupiers are still out here, and they've been marching about twice a week, I would say. Michael Moore just stopped by. He was in Portland for a book signing at Powell's, and he stopped by the Occupy and said it was the largest, best Occupy he's seen. So
really?
It's going
better
well.
Than New York?
That's what he said.
Come on. New York is the granddaddy of the occupation.
I don't know.
I mean, things went pretty wild in Oakland this week, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we got some listeners down in the Oakland area that have been telling us about it, chatting on the chat lines about that stuff. So, yeah.
It was a little shocking.
Bear down, occupiers. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Here in New York, there's lots of threats of eviction, so we'll see what happens. I mean, they keep trying to build a case for the place being not secure. There's, little crimes going on, on site. And, previously the issues with sanitation. They're trying to build a case, I think, to try throw them out, but I think they're still hoping the weather will just basically ease people out. But they got tents there now, plenty of tents. They seem to be bearing down to kind of just deal with the winter.
Yeah. All right, Steve, we got to call it a day. Thanks for joining us here for the Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
All right, thank you. When we come back, we got time for Radical Ramp. Prop 215 is 15 years old. I got a few things to say about it. We're back after this.
Look, I When I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again.
Hey, this is Sarah Frank from A Different View. Join us live on the Normal Network Monday evenings at 8 Pacific, with a replay at 2 a.m., Thursday at 8 a.m., and Saturday at 5 p.m.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101, by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
Medical marijuana turns 15 years old, but has it reached its zenith? Tomorrow, November 5th, 2011, marks the 15th anniversary of California's passage of Prop 215, the Compassionate Use Act. The act was passed with 55.58% of the vote and remains the greatest achievement in marijuana law reform in the war on drugs era. The successes of Prop 215 are well documented. 2 years following its passage, the rest of the West Coast and Alaska passed their own medical marijuana initiatives, with close to equal or greater support than California voters gave Prop 215. The next decade saw 12 more states and the District of Columbia passing medical marijuana laws, with 7 of those states doing so through the legislature. 5 of the citizen initiatives topped 60% support. As states passed medical marijuana, some added more conditions for qualification, some legislated dispensary operations, and the most recent have instituted protections for the rights of patients to drive, work, have a home, get an organ transplant, and raise their kids. In some ways, medical marijuana has improved in 15 years. But a closer examination reveals a reform strategy that has stalled out and may even be in decline. The last election saw Oregon fail to pass a dispensary measure for the second time with about the same support after 6 years. South Dakota defeated medical marijuana with only 36% support, a drop of 12 points since they tried in 2006. Arizona only barely passed medical marijuana with a 50.13% of support when they had previously seen 65% in 1996 and 64% in a 1998 referendum. Now, both those 1990 Arizona acts were invalidated. Indeed, when the national polls show a stalling on the medical marijuana issue as well. When Gallup asked about support for medical marijuana and legalized marijuana in 1999, support was 73% for medical and 29% for legalization. We assume that someone who supports legalization for healthy people probably supports legalization for sick people too. So that means 44% of those polled only support medical marijuana, not legalization. But in the latest 2011 poll, legalization support has hit 50%, while in a 2010 poll, medical marijuana support had dropped to 70%, down 8 points since 2005. How has the support for legalization doubled since Prop 215, while support for making a medical exception to criminal marijuana has flatlined? We've seen how courts, legislatures, and law enforcement have supported medical exceptions, by trying to make those exceptions as narrow and costly as possible. No state followed California's lead in making marijuana available by doctor's recommendation for, quote, any other illness for which marijuana provides relief, end quote. Instead, the other states crafted strict condition lists and patient registries. The West Coast standard of a dozen or more homegrown plants became 3 to 6 plants, or no home growing at all. The precedent of a half pound or more of usable medicine became 1 or 2 ounces, tracked to the gram and filmed at all times. Courts all across the Ninth Circuit have ruled that medical marijuana use does not protect patients from job discrimination, and patients still experience housing, child custody, and medical procedure discrimination on a daily basis. Oregon legislators proclaimed the medical marijuana program rife with abuse on the sole evidence that 50,000 patients had signed on. So they doubled the mandatory registry fee, which works out to being 10 times greater if you're poor and previously got a discounted fee. And they did this, and they explicitly said they were doing this to reduce the medical marijuana registry numbers. Oregon sheriffs are in agreement with the ATF that patients have no Second Amendment rights. Colorado legislators passed a series of medical marijuana business regulations, making it more difficult and expensive to operate a dispensary than a liquor store, and impossible to be a personal caregiver who just supplies marijuana to a patient. Montana outright repealed medical marijuana, saved only by a governor's veto, only to enact strict new regulations to decimate the medical marijuana program. California localities continued to restrict dispensary operations. Washington's governor vetoed a dispensary measure. Arizona's governor is stonewalling implementation of dispensaries. Alaska, Maine, Nevada, and Vermont still have fewer than 1,000 protected patients each. New Jersey and the District of Columbia leaders are dragging their feet and haven't even implemented their programs after more than 18 months. The basis of medical marijuana restrictions and discrimination depends on a federal Schedule I designation that defines the use of cannabis by healthy people as a criminal act. These restrictions, these dropping poll numbers, and these failing medical marijuana initiatives indicate a substantial proportion of the American public believe compassionate use is just a ruse. I believe that there are three basic stands on medical marijuana among the voters who are not personally invested in the issue. Stand number one, the people who believe pot smoking is evil and will never support anyone using it for any reason. Let's call them the prohibitionists. Number two, the people who believe pot smoking is evil, but letting cancer and AIDS patients suffer is more evil. Let's call them medicalizers. And third, the people who don't believe pot smoking is evil at all and will allow any adult to use it. Let's call them legalizers. The prohibitionists will never support medical marijuana, and the legalizers have always supported medical marijuana. So the fate of any medical marijuana proposal rests on whether or not a coalition of legalizers and medicalizers can form a majority. Over the past 15 years, forming that majority has required more restrictive definitions of medical marijuana to assuage the medicalizers who increasingly think evil pot smokers are getting through the loopholes. Worse, forming that coalition requires legalizers to tacitly agree that healthy pot smoking is evil. When medical marijuana began in the 90s, the rallying cry was, if there's going to be a war on drugs, let's get the sick and dying off the battlefield. Well, if that's the case, why do we continue to see a rise in casualties on the battlefield? Even in medical marijuana states, annual arrests of cannabis consumers continue to rise. All medical marijuana has done for marijuana convicts is improve their population's average level of health in 16 states. Medical marijuana started as a revitalization of marijuana activism, but I believe it has reached a point where any future medical marijuana laws will have to be increasingly restrictive. And the near future holds DEA rescheduling of plant THC for use by Big Pharma in devices that will provide all the medical relief without the high, which will cleave away some of the medicalizers from further reforms. We've gotten to a point in time where half as many people only support medical legalization over a decade, and support of legalization for all adults now outnumbers opposition for the first time. This is not to argue that we give up on medical marijuana campaigns. It is to argue that the campaigns need to be reframed away from, oh no, this isn't legalization at all, to, yes, we're going to legalize for sick people first. Until marijuana is supported as a good thing for all, and not an evil thing we allow medical exceptions for, medical marijuana patients will remain in second-class citizenship, and healthy marijuana smokers will remain behind bars. And that's all we got here for our normal show live daily, the radical rant. Sorry about that. Got a little confused with the Liebermeter there. Again, don't give up on medical marijuana. It's not to say medical marijuana is wrong. I just think, politically speaking, it may have gone as far as it can go. The time is now to support legalization for all people. When everybody can have marijuana legally, healthy people will be able to get all they need. When everyone can have marijuana legally, healthy people won't have to be discriminated against, and sick people won't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Medicalizers, we were behind you in the 90s and the 2000s, fighting for your initiatives that didn't help us. It's time for you to get behind the legalization initiatives that will help all of us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for Cannabis Carry and everyone here at the Normal Foundation. It's been a great week. We'll talk to you next week. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.